Buckle your seatbelt and get ready for the podcast that will take you on a special journey designed to elevate and empower your cross-cultural appreciation for communities around the world. Hello, I'm Carol Copeland Thomas. I'm your host of Conversations with Carol, the weekly show that connects culture with collaboration and community. Welcome aboard. He is a powerhouse in the United Kingdom, Zambia, and other parts of the world. And a few weeks ago, she rocked our US-UK Summit on Race event by delivering a spellbinding message on the significance of the group responsible for starting and expanding our entire world. Who is this group? African women. Her Excellency, Dr. Justina Mutale, has been globally acclaimed as one of the most influential and inspirational African women everywhere. In 2012, she was named African Woman of the Year, sharing a platform with various African heads of state. Listen carefully to this presentation and share it with your friends, colleagues, and particularly the girls and women in your life. It is an inspiration to us all.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I hand you over to Dr. Justina Mutale, and I will stop sharing screen so that everyone can join in.
Thank you very much, Garth, and thank you for to Dr. Caro and everybody else on her team and everyone else on your team, Garth, for this timely event. And of course, with a timely title, but I'm also very intrigued and at the same time delighted that this follows this, the title of Saluting Our Sisters follows your summit on health, on was it women's health? Because nothing is as important as the health of a mother. And nothing is as important as maternal health, because that's what keeps humanity moving. And so as we embark on Black History Month, we have to shine a spotlight on those extraordinary women who have been a positive change in the world. I come from a background of very powerful, strong, and assertive women in Zambia, which is in Central Southern Africa. And the theme, this year's theme of saluting our sisters is befitting and very close to my heart as we celebrate Black women and girls, of course, who have shaped history and communities in the past and also today. However, I want to start my talk by reminding everyone that for me, Black history does not start with the advent of slavery. For me, and that Black History Month should not be confined to celebrating only those individuals who are the offspring of those that were taken into slavery. As you know, I still have strong attachments to Africa, and I come from Africa. I know that most Black people that were taken into slavery were taken out of Africa, but we have those that stayed behind, those that started this, the history of Black people. So this Black History Month, I want to take us right back in time. I want to take us back to the beginning of Black history as I know it, as I have read about it, and as it has been written in those places that I've been able to research and read. It is written that Africa is the birthplace of humanity. This is from my research. And it is also written that Africa is the birthplace of civilization. It is further written that Africa is the origin for most, if not all, of Black women scattered across the globe. In fact, somewhere it's claimed that all women in all variations of colors are descendant from the Black woman from Africa. So it has also been said that women are the world's most potent force, and that women are also the guardians of humanity, and that women are natural born leaders, and of course that women are the backbone of society. Africa, therefore, being the birthplace of humanity and the birthplace of civilization, it naturally follows that Black women, you have to note this, it naturally follows that if Africa is the birthplace of humanity, and if Africa is the birthplace of civilization, it naturally follows that African Black women, whose origin is Africa, gave birth to the rest of humanity in all its forms and beauty, in all its rainbow colors. Humanity emanates from the Black woman from Africa. Therefore, this Black History Month, we must celebrate the millions of Black women and girls around the world who have made the world a kinder and fairer place with their brilliant personalities, ideas, and achievements. We must also celebrate our Black sisters who have taken the world on, women who have made things happen, Black women that have that captivating beauty and strength of personality that embraces life in all of its endless variety. As I say, they gave birth to humanity. So Black women embrace life in all of its endless variety. We must also celebrate our Black sisters who have transformed their own lives and the lives of others. Being mothers, we bring humanity into this world. Black women gave birth to humanity. So we bring humanity into this world, and we nurture humanity, of course. So we must celebrate our Black sisters who have transformed their own lives and the lives of others that they have brought into this world through their own hard work, guts, and of course, acts of compassion. The history of Black people is permeated by individual and collective Black women's struggles, illustrative of a long tradition of women's involvement in their society battles that still resound in some of the oral traditions today. Mark this word, oral traditions. This is because most of the history of Africa or Black people is not written. It is oral. It is passed on from generation to the next generation through storytelling, which has become the in thing now. Everybody's asking you to tell your stories. So this is what Africans did before. So African, being the birthplace of humanity, being the birthplace of a civilization, of course, started this idea of storytelling, which is now the in thing to do with anybody who wants to be anybody in this world. So the historical heritage of many African countries is rich with Black women who fought for the rights of their people and, of course, resisted colonial rule during the colonization process. They also fought in the ensuing struggle for independence of their respective countries. I'm talking from an African perspective, because I am from Zambia and my roots are still embedded in Africa. And then you realize as you go around the world, as you study, as you do the research, you find out, oh my God, and these iconic Black women have been ignored in the East history books. You will not find them. You will only find them in the oral storytelling from mouth to mouth, but most of it is not written. Now, I've got to tell you that in most cases, the story of the African woman or Black woman is told in a dual way, where they are like a shadow of the husband or the father. That is not the history that I know from Africa, from where I come from, because I know that for thousands of years, women were equal, if not superior, to their men. Many African societies were matriarchal, meaning that they were led by strong, powerful, assertive women. And these societies prospered. However, colonization overturned all the benefits of a matriarchal society and reinforced men's supremacy over women. This is what I learned from my research. And due to the change, this was due to the change from a subsistence economy to a monetary economy based on remunerated employment with formal education. So you had to be a man in order to be educated. You also had to be a man in order to be employed. And that tilted the status quo, because then the men became the breadwinner because they earned the money as in coins and notes in order to buy food to eat. Whereas before, the men and women in Africa worked the land with their men. They contributed equally. And in most cases, those women owned the land on which these men were working with them. So Black women from various backgrounds in Africa have for centuries made major contributions to the development of the continent, the African continent, and of course, the world at large, as we will hear this much later on in our discussions. They made these contributions through their active participation in political, social, environmental, technological, academia, economic activities, and of course, all other walks of life, entertainment, music, and things like that. We've had loads of iconic women taking the stage. For example, Beyoncé, she's a Black woman, and she holds the light as the most successful performing artist. And yet, those women from the African background, those women, the names and the works of these iconic Black women that I am talking about from the beginning of African history, remain hidden. And they have been disregarded for centuries, as they do not appear in any of the history books. Their stories are still oral as I am telling them today. And so, as we celebrate and salute our sisters, I want to take us back in time and celebrate those Black women who paved the way and made it possible for us to be where we are today. There is another thing in, was it 5 or 4 years ago in the UK? Of course, the US festival celebrated 100 years of the women's suffrage movement or women's right to vote. And in the UK, the year after, we were celebrating 100 years of the women's right to vote. But what we didn't celebrate in the UK or USA, although we have all these Black women that came from Africa, was the African women's suffrage movement that took place over 100 years ago, where we had some of the most outstanding African women that have defended the honor and integrity of Africa. These women, for example, included women like Yair Asantewaa of Ghana. She fought and defeated the British in the war of what was called the War of the Golden Stool. We also have the female pharaoh of Egypt, who obtained full power as ruler of Egypt and built the greatest army in the world during her lifetime. She also expanded trade. So listen to these. These women, they also knew the importance of economic activity. They knew the importance of having economic power. So the first female pharaoh of Egypt expanded trade outside of Egypt to improve the economic status of the entire Egyptian kingdom. We move on to Amina, Queen of Zaria. So Amina has also even been depicted in Hollywood as Amina the Warrior King or something like that. So this was a warrior king of Nigeria. She had a great military and leadership skills. She conquered most of North Africa for the Hausa people during her 34-year reign. She also overcame traditional gender roles by refusing to marry or have children. So she did not want to walk in the shadows of a husband or even her children. For example, where I come from, once you have a child, you're no longer called Justina. You're called mother of so and so. But Amina wanted to retain her independence. She wanted to own herself and be known as Amina without walking the shadows of the husband, nor the shadows of the children. So she was the, as I said, she was the inspiration of the television series Xena, the Warrior Princess. We move on to South Africa, where we have one of the most powerful forces. When they did Wakanda, coming from South Africa and knowing this history, I thought what they should have based that story on. They should have based it on a true story, on a true African superhero called Shaka Zulu. And behind the throne of Shaka Zulu, if you've never heard of Shaka Zulu, you can Google it and you will understand why I think that Wakanda should have been based on Shaka Zulu, because he actually did live. He wasn't a fiction. This was somebody that lived, and we learned about him in history because I went to school in my country, Zambia, and we learned the true history of Africa. So Nandi, the mother of Shaka Zulu, she single-handedly raised the future queen. She was put in charge of his army when he became the king. She helped Shaka Zulu to grow his kingdom as his trusted advisor and mentor. That is what Nandi did and made Shaka Zulu powerful. In fact, when you read back in most of the stories, you find that most successful men have ridden on the shoulders of their women, whether it's a wife, husband, mistress, or even a daughter or sister who have been their mentor. We move on to Rwanda, where we have Mount Musa. She was a warrior and, of course, a spiritualist. She was a widow of Rubari, chief of Rwanda in the late 19th century. She became the leader of the mountain people and led an anti-colonial struggle against the Germans and the British. We move on to Queen Zinga of the Bundu people of Angola. She led the resistance against the Portuguese and set her people free from slavery. We also move to the queen of the powerful Nubian people of Kush, which is present day Sudan, who fought alongside her son and husband. She didn't sit at home to cook or stay in the kitchen. So many years ago, she knew that a woman's place was not just the kitchen. It could also be at the battlefront. And she went and did that. And of course, we have the Empress of Ethiopia, the wife of Menelik II. She was a co-equal with her emperor husband. They shared that, and this is what we advocate for. For example, in my foundation, we are talking about a 50-50 planet, where at every high decision-making table, we have 50% female perspective and 50% male perspective. These African women already advocated for that, and they also already practiced it. We move on to the Dahomey warriors, of course, which were depicted in the... In the Wakanda movie. This was an all-female military regiment of the Kingdom of Dahomey, which is present day called Benin. We move to the Igbo women of Nigeria, who again fought against the British. We have the Southern African women who in 1956 marched to the Pretoria buildings. And of course, I'm not going to forget more recently. Of course, I know some of my speakers will speak about the more modern or contemporary influencers that are Black women, Black sisters influencers. But I'm trying to stay to where we started from. So after these historic women, I just want to mention that most recently, we have had women like Mama Winnie Mandela and all the other founding mothers of Africa who helped their husbands during the struggle for independence of Africa. If you follow Winnie Mandela's story, and of course Nelson Mandela's story, you'll find that Winnie Mandela was the one holding the fort. She's the one that led to South Africa to have its independence. Because Nelson Mandela was locked away for 27 years. And his only connection to the outside world was Winnie Mandela. Had Winnie faltered or just decided somewhere along the way in taking a message either from Nelson or from the ANC, I'm not going to do this anymore. I am totally fed up of this nonsense. South Africa wouldn't be where they are today, but Winnie Mandela held the fort. We also have Mama Ngina, widow of Jomo Kenyatta, founding father of Kenya. Of course, we have Maria Nyerere, widow of Julius Nyerere, founding father of Tanzania. We have our own Beth Kaunda, widow, she's deceased as well, of Kenneth Kaunda, our founding father for Zambia. We also have Maria Obote, widow of Milton Obote, founding father of Uganda. I could go on and show how these women, these Black African women, helped Africa gain its independence, helped Africa to put us the way we are today, helped Black people around the world like myself have the confidence to reassert myself and sit here today to deliver this keynote speech. So each year during Black History Month, we celebrate men like Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, Nelson Mandela, Barack Obama, among others. And yet, have we ever pondered to celebrate the Black women that brought these iconic men into this world? Those Black women that paved the way and nurtured these iconic Black men to become who they are, that we should always celebrate them every Black History Month celebration time. As this summit was started in commemoration of the untimely death of George Floyd, who cried for his mother in his final moments, have we ever pondered to celebrate the Black mothers that bring these children into the world, whether they become president or they become George Floyd, who's killed on the street? Have we ever pondered how these mothers, the delight they feel when their son becomes president, or when their son is killed, and the pain that they feel? Does the world even know who George Floyd's mother's name is? I didn't. I used to see his girlfriend or wife and child on television. I never really saw his mother. Perhaps other people followed that more closely than I did. So anyway, this Black History Month, we need to celebrate and salute Martin Luther King's mother. We need to salute Malcolm X's mother. We need to salute and celebrate Nelson Mandela's mother. And of course, Barack Obama's paternal grandmother, who was from Africa, who was Black, who gave birth to Barack Obama's Kenyan father, who in turn gave us the Barack Obama that we know now. It all goes back to the Black woman in the beginning, from the beginning of humanity and beginning of civilization. And so in saluting our sisters this Black History Month, we must celebrate and highlight iconic Black women and girls and their contributions. We must bring to the fore a greater recognition of Black women's contribution to national governance, leadership, political activity, academia, technology, and all walks of life that they contribute to. And in celebrating our sisters, we must aim to inspire and instill confidence in Black women and girls spread across the globe, wherever they are. We must provide a narrative that inspires Black women and girls to take ownership and pride in their history. We must also advocate and define strategies for the inclusion of iconic Black women in the history books that everybody will read, not just let it go by oral. They have a saying in Africa, and when an elder person dies, a whole library dies with that person because of the oral tradition. So when we die, there will be nobody to tell this story the way I have told it today. So we must also appeal for a fair and positive portrayal of Black women in the media. The media plays a great, great role in building or destroying a brand or somebody. And Black women are a brand. They need to be portrayed in a positive way in the media. And in the history of Africa, like I said before, there's a number of unwritten and untold African suffrage movement stories. And of course, there are still up to today a number of matriarchal societies in Africa where women rule their kingdoms. From my own mother's side of the family, a woman rules the kingdom. And of course, from my father's family, although a man rules the kingdom, this did not stop one powerful, assertive woman to rise up and start her own movement, which shook the whole political foundation of my country, Zambia. I stand here today in saluting our sisters. I salute these women and other women from my background. I also salute the iconic Black women left out, all the iconic Black women left out of the history books, for they paved the way for me and all my generations to come, to be where we are and who we are today, and to be who we will be, where we will, and who we will be for generations to come. I would like to salute the next generation of Black women by starting with my own daughter, Mwiche, whose stage name is Sadie Sina, and she is the founder and curator of the Cocoa Butter Club, which creates a space for performers of color to express themselves. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Conversations with Carol. Spread the word and tell friends and colleagues that this podcast is tailor-made for them. Make sure you subscribe, and we welcome your comments and reviews on your favorite podcast platform. Visit us at carolcopelandthomas.com and listen to all of the episodes and learn about my speaking services there. Thanks again, and we'll see you back next week for an exciting new show. See you soon.